Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve. Steve Paisley, Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
People can join us on Facebook Live or our own streaming service, right?
That's right. If you want to watch the live video stream, you can go to Facebook, search for Today's Issues, and click through. You can watch this live video stream.
And we post the stories that we talk about.
We do post the stories that we talk about on that Facebook page. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net.
Yes. Let's see. Was there anything else we were going to... Did we wrap up everything last hour?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we're ready to
turn a page and
go with what Steve...
Okay, Steve.
...hath
morning.
Brought.
It's been a tough couple weeks on the Gulf Coast. We had news, I guess it was the 28th, it would be...
Yesterday.
Today's the 28th, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Former NFL quarterback Ryan Mallett, played with the New England Patriots, among other teams, died in an apparent drowning in Destin on the Alabama coast.
And it's Florida coast.
I'm sorry, Florida coast. You have to go through Alabama to get there.
Yes, from here.
Over the last, within 2 weeks, 11 people have died off of the Gulf Coast because of rip tides.
Right.
Now, these are currents that go out from the shore. So if you get caught in one, you're shoved out to sea, basically.
Yeah.
And they occur when waves break on sandbars and uneven ground, which forces water into a pool and has nowhere to go but out.
It's like a under the surface river, as the water kind of
not always under the surface. I mean, it's from the surface down to as deep as it goes. But yes, and they can go at several hundred yards. And a lot of people have died, either trying to rescue, like their kids, fathers have died. It's been very frustrating for officials there because they're warning about this.
Yeah. Well, millions and millions and millions of people vacation along the Gulf Coast in the summertime. But you know, rip currents are, you can find them in many places in the world.
Yeah.
But the last few weeks, the rip currents have really been bad. Especially around Destin and Panama City Beach. Now, Ryan Mallett, the former quarterback from the University of Arkansas and in the NFL, he passed away yesterday. He was 35, I think. But big, strong guy.
A professional athlete.
Still young. So that goes to show you that the force of nature is respecter of no man.
Yeah.
But what happens in these rip currents? Well, a lot of people, and I'm not saying this is what Ryan Mallett did, okay, don't misunderstand me, but a lot of people ignore the flags.
Ryan Mallett did. There were warnings out.
Okay, you got a double red flag. They post a flag all along the beaches.
Yep.
When you walk out to the beach, you're going to see a flag, okay? And they post these flags, double red. Double red means basically don't go within 100 feet of the water.
Right.
Okay, I'm exaggerating here, but don't go in the water. That's what that means. Don't go in the water at all.
Right.
And then you got a single red flag, which means it's hazardous, which you shouldn't be going in anyway. And then you go down from there. But I'm just saying, sadly, a lot of people just ignore those things.
Yeah.
They think,
and we're down at the beach. We've come a long way.
And I've read where these rip currents can affect you even thigh high. Mm-hmm. You get out there thigh high.
Take your legs right out from under you.
Yeah.
I got caught in one when I was in high school up in New England.
Atlantic Ocean?
Atlantic Ocean.
What happened?
Well, I remember we were all taught when we, you know, because we went to the beach a lot. This was Hampton Beach in New Hampshire coast, which they don't have much. But we were always told if you get caught in a riptide, you never swim against, you never try to go directly against the tide and go to the shore because that's how you drowned. They always say swim parallel to the beach.
You get out of the ripcord.
And you will get drawn out, but you can get out of the rip current. And so I just, that's what I did. I mean, but I was probably out 100 yards off the shore by the time I got out.
You realized what was happening?
Yes. It took my legs out from under me.
Okay.
So I was probably, you know, waist high or whatever.
Basically swept out.
Swept out. And so.
So what happens to people is, Steve, did that ever happen to you?
No, I swam a lot in the ocean, and growing up on the beach, I was told exactly the same thing. Yeah. But no, I've never. Maybe Santa Cruz doesn't tend to have them. I don't know. I think they do, but I've never been caught.
But you know what? The reason people pass away, sadly, is that what you're describing goes. Your natural instinct is to fight back against whatever it is that.
Get back to shore.
Back to shore. So you're thinking, I'm going to swim back, and then you realize I'm not getting, you know, and then you people get exhausted.
Yes.
And then somebody comes to try to save them.
Yes.
And it's a bad situation and very dangerous. Anyway, if you're at the beach and you got a double red flag or a single red flag, don't go in. That did happen to our family. Not exactly as dramatic maybe as what happened to you. We were in Cancun. This is 10, 12 years ago. We went on a family vacation. We were out on our floats. Fortunately, we had floats.
Yeah.
Out in the ocean. Beautiful ocean, if you've ever seen that in Cancun. The water's crystal clear. It's warm. It's nice. It's beautiful. Anyway, we're sitting there. Well, not sitting there. We're out there. I'm talking about 25 yards off the coast. You know, off the. And next thing we know, we're moving further and further and further, all of us.
Yeah.
There was 8 or 10 of us on floats, and it was taking us out.
It's scary.
Yeah. And nothing you could do about it.
Right.
I mean, as far as controlling, so we did start, as you say, start swimming parallel.
Parallel to the shore.
Parallel to the shore to get out of the rip, right. Rip tide or rip current. Because you got no chance fighting back against it. But you're right, it is scary because it took us out like 100 yards.
Yeah.
Or more. I don't know. I'm forgetting how. But I just know we had our stuff on the beach, and it was getting further and further.
It's a dot.
Yeah, right.
That's
freaking. Anybody see the beach?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over there about a mile and a half.
The ocean is so vast. It is very scary.
Yeah. All right, Steve, go ahead.
All right. The Hunter Biden investigation is heating up. Hunter Biden, it's the current president's son, I believe.
I've heard, it's even in the news, or
I think he was, it for college basketball play? No, it wasn't. He was
Hunter Biden
been accused of acquiring power, money, trading money for influence with his dad, and his dad is involved in this. As much as Joe is saying no, I have never talked to my son, and he did it again today. He yelled at a reporter today. That he has never talked to his son about their business dealings.
He yelled at a reporter?
Yeah, the reporter said, were you in the room? He says, no. Are you involved at all? No! And he really got angry.
And then he told him to get off his lawn.
You know what then he said? He also said today, by the way, that it's a good thing that Russia is losing the war in Iraq.
He
did not.
He did.
Wow.
Do you have a cup?
I don't. We're out of room.
Well, how
that's what I'm saying.
Mock it?
Huh?
How are we supposed to mock it?
The guy's losing it. He's 80. What is he now? 81? And this is a dangerous situation as far as having the commander-in-chief of our country in a mentally compromised position. That's not getting – this isn't temporary. This is only going to get worse.
He doesn't turn 81 till November.
He really said today, that what Russia is losing the war in Iraq.
In Iraq.
Iraq. Okay, listen.
Was it Iran? I'm sorry. It was one of the But yes, it wasn't Ukraine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is he got the country wrong, right?
Yes.
Listen, as we've said before, too, we all can make mistakes, and we do, in talking and speaking and recalling things.
Yeah,
all of us do. But with President Biden, we're seeing it on full display every day. He messes major things up and mistakes major things up on a regular, almost daily basis. And slurring his words, he shuffles to get around. Saying Russia's at war with Iraq. So I don't think I just do not in any way, shape, or form see him being the candidate for president for the Democrats.
In addition to everything you're saying, which is true, the evidence against him being involved in his son's dealings is mounting. And when you lose CBS News, you're in trouble. And CBS News had an IRS whistleblower on, and this guy, his name is Gary Shapley. He's worked and currently works at the IRS. He's a criminal investigator there. For 14 years, he's been at the IRS, and CBS had him on, and he is saying that his office, the IRS, was told not to investigate Joe Biden, not to investigate Hunter Biden.
Is this sworn testimony?
No, this is an interview with a journalist. This is on CBS.
But do you know if this fella has said this under oath?
I don't.
For what it's worth. Anyway, he's a period. You're saying you're noting that it's liberal news organization,
yeah.
CBS is interviewing this guy. Do we have?
Yes, we do. Listen to cut 9.
If this was any other person, they likely would have already served their sentence.
Shapley, who is still working for the IRS, told us that even before President Biden took office, he was directed to avoid leads involving Hunter's father.
There were certain investigative steps that we weren't allowed to take that could have led us to President Biden.
And you wanted to take them?
We needed to take them.
And you weren't allowed to take them?
That's correct.
The weaponized...
That's the IRS. That's not even including situation at the Department of Justice.
No.
But there's also strong accusations that they, too, covered for Biden.
Mm-hmm.
For President Biden when he was candidate Biden, right? And even now. Go ahead.
I'm just looking at a story. I hadn't seen this yet, but this is the lead story right now on Fox. It says Hunter Biden is expected to be deposed as part of the civil lawsuit brought by Delaware computer repair shop owner John Paul Mac Isaac. And so he has filed a lawsuit against Hunter Biden. I guess he did it in October 2022 in Delaware for defamation.
Yeah.
And then Hunter Biden filed a countersuit alleging that this computer repair shop owner illegally distributed his personal data and accused him of 6 counts of invasion of privacy. So this is interesting this is the kind of civil lawsuit where you could find even more information out because they're going to be deposing each other.
Yep.
And other stuff.
Is this a computer repair shop?
Yep. This is the laptop.
Where the laptop was left.
You know, as far as politically stupid moves in the history of the United States of America, I'm on the list leaving your laptop at the repair shop, not picking it up, probably in the top 10.
Is it there with Donald Trump admitting he did things on tape that is with
you, you know what? You're going to take the bashing from the Trump fans today, Steve, not me.
Because
I didn't say what Steve just said.
That was
okay?
Me. That was me.
Okay, send your emails to Steve.
Steve at IDon'tCare.com. No, I do care.
Okay, should I ask you what your point is there, or should we move
no,
on?
No. Let me get out on a limb here and say that, like I'm not already out on one. If the Democrats decide that they're done with Joe Biden, that they can't have him run, like you say, he shouldn't be running.
Right.
He won't. This is probably how they're going to get rid of him. With CBS and other liberal news outlets now starting to kind of circle.
Because we played that on Monday, didn't we? We played that, the audio Monday from Karine Jean-Pierre,
yeah.
being verbally assaulted by members of the legacy media wanting right. further information.
Or just referring people yes. to the White House counsel's office.
Right.
I mean, she was on repeat right there, rinse and repeat. No, what I mean is we would not be talking about this more than likely had Hunter Biden not left his laptop at the repair shop and not picked it up.
Yes.
In Delaware. He must have really been strung out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, to not remember to pick up your laptop, that would seem to me right at top of your to-do list, you know? Go by grocery store.
Right.
And pick up laptop.
Take mail to the post office and pick up laptop. But because this laptop was left, and then after a certain number of weeks,
it was 90 days. Once
90 days, then the I guess the lawful owner becomes the
repair shop
yeah.
owner.
And he knows he has the vice president's laptop, I guess. And then he calls the FBI, right? Is that right? Or is he turning it over?
He said Isaac, which is his last name, he could not get in touch with the customer. And so then he began to search the emails by keyword. This was in the summer of 2019. And began to realize whose it was. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he turned it over
to Rudolph Giuliani,
to the FBI, or the FBI made a forensic copy once it became obvious whose laptop it was, and then came back and confiscated it, but I think not before Isaac had either made a copy himself or released.
But how were all these emails and photographs and conversations that Hunter Biden had that were on the laptop, how did that get exposed to the public?
They were released by the guy that when the FBI and the DOJ refused to do anything about this, I think that's
he released it to the New York Post.
Oh, that's what happened. I remember now. Yeah.
And then the New York Post wrote a story about it.
They had authenticated it.
They had authenticated it as being Hunter Biden's laptop. The emails were his. And then big social squashed it.
Right.
And none of the rest of the media
covered. The left-wing media and the deep state went into protect Biden mode.
Right.
Right. Oh. Their protector guy mode.
Including the FBI and the IRS, who were supposed to be working for Donald Trump. They also.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we all know how that went, the deep state.
Yeah. Anyway, just not picking up your I'm going to put that. We can come up with our own top 10 list of bonehead plays in history.
Well, let me tell you what
politically speaking.
Let me tell you what I think happened. I don't think it was just a matter of Hunter Biden forgetting to pick it up. I'm guessing, this is just my opinion, it's a little bit of speculation on my part, that he couldn't remember what repair shop he dropped it off at. That he might have been
strung out.
I dropped it off somewhere. Where's that receipt? You know what I'm saying? We've all done those kind of things. I don't remember where I parked outside Walmart or whatever.
No, I had never done that. Get strung out, leave my laptop at the repair shop.
I'm happy to
hear that.
I've done
some dumb things, but I don't think I can top that one right there.
And not for nothing.
Yeah.
He must have had his password must have been password because they got into the laptop.
I don't know. These repair people can probably crack anyway.
Yeah.
But that's just, wow. Just anyway, that's, you know, the conversation went on there with back when Joe Biden was more lucid.
Yeah.
You did. I'm sorry, son. You did what?
I couldn't remember where I left.
and what's on there? Well, Dad, we're about to find out along with the whole world. Okay, then. Okay, next story, Steve.
All right, let's go to Maryland, Montgomery County, Maryland, where a group of immigrants and Christians, Muslims, Catholics all got together to protest schools indoctrinating their kids. And we talked a couple of weeks ago or last week, a couple of weeks ago, about the Muslim people that were upset because homosexuality was being taught to their kids. and the left was going crazy because they couldn't, you know, it's Christians that are bigoted, not Muslims. You can't be anti-Muslim. and they didn't know what to do. Well, Asra Namani is a reporter and an author, and she was at this place, and I want you to hear, she released some of this video. Listen to these parents, and this is what's happening at this school district where the parents are saying, basically, get away from our kids. Cut 10.
We want freedom. We want rights.
We love our children.
We love our children.
We love our children.
We love our children.
We will never surrender our children.
These parents here are asking only for the right to be conscientious objectors.
Okay, just to be clear here, what's going on? This is a county in Maryland. Yep. Maryland's very liberal for the most part. And this is a public school district in what county?
Montgomery County.
Okay, they're wanting to teach the kids the LGBTQ agenda. I don't know how young they're talking about right here. Elementary school kids, maybe?
School district, yeah.
These parents that you just heard right there, many of them immigrants from places of the world, around the world, Christians and Muslims alike, and others.
Catholics.
Catholics.
Well,
from
we should say Protestants, Catholics,
yes,
Eastern,
yes,
Orthodox.
Yeah.
Christians.
Christians of all branches, and then also Muslims. Mm-hmm. Really, all they're wanting is the right to opt out their kids.
Yes.
That's what they're asking for.
And right it, but there. it puts the LGBTQ and the community and their sympathizers within the school district in a very tight place, because now they can't just say, well, it's a bunch of white
Christian nationalists.
Now they're dealing with a bunch of brown people, which is what this Muslim journalist.
Yeah, Asra Namani.
Yes, she's a Muslim. That's the way she put it. She said, now you got to deal with a bunch of brown people who are immigrants, and including Muslims. You can't just say it's all Christians who want to protect their kids. Puts the LGBTQ
they don't know how to respond exactly.
It puts them in a tough spot. And this wasn't a small group.
No.
This looked like it was hundreds of people.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There is a revolt going on by average Americans,
yes,
middle Americans, not necessarily just Republicans or conservatives, against some call, and this is what DeSantis talks about, Governor DeSantis, the sexualizing of kids.
Yes, yep.
Absolutely.
And this is refreshing to see,
yeah,
that people other than just conservatives or just Christians are speaking out here.
Right.
And this is a, but it's going on because people may be liberal to a certain extent, but if you start force feeding their kids sex and they're in third grade, they're gonna come after you,
right?
And rightfully so. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So anyway, as you say, Ed, talking about sex of any kind to children is inappropriate.
Right.
Teach them reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yep. Mathematics.
We got enough problems with
science.
That, huh? We don't need to make them these kids social guinea pigs.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Ed, Steve, Chris, everybody else who was on the show today. Brent Creeley, our producer. We'll see you back here tomorrow.